not what you want to be remembered for.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. No company has ever lost this much money in one quarter. Insurance behemoth AIG says this morning it lost $61.7 billion last quarter. And so the U.S. government is stepping in again. The Treasury Department and Federal Reserve say they will throw AIG another $30 billion lifeline. The government will also relax the terms on the $150 billion in loans it's already given the company. In return, taxpayers will take stakes in two of AIG's better-performing Asian units. This is the fourth time the government is rescuing AIG. Officials say the company is so intertwined with the world's diseased financial system that it simply cannot fail. Across the Atlantic, European Union leaders met over the weekend to figure out their unified approach to the financial fallout. Marketplace's European correspondent Stephen Beard joins us. Stephen, I understand this summit veered off script.
Yes, an old fault line apparently opened up. The old divisions between East and Western Europe surfaced quite painfully at this summit. This, I would say, is probably the worst split since the two sides of Europe were unified after the collapse of communism almost 20 years ago. Most of the former communist countries of Eastern Europe, countries like Poland, Hungary, the Czech Republic, are now members of the European Union. But it's pretty clear from this summit that many of them feel West Europeans are not helping them out in this crisis. The Hungarians feel that in particular.
What's with the Iron Curtain comment?
Well, this is what the Hungarians say is going to happen unless they get more help from the West. What Hungary asked for at this summit was an EU bailout fund for the East worth about $240 billion to help out these countries of Eastern Europe that are far worse hit than their West European counterparts by this crisis. Germany, which would pick up the largest part of the bill for this, said, no, we'll do it on a country-by-country basis.
I think Americans are peering over there saying, where is the European unity?
Well, there's a lot of disunity, I'm afraid. And it's not just the Hungarians. I mean, the Poles. Poland is the superpower, if you like, of Eastern Europe. They're pretty upset, too. They feel they've been excluded by Westerners. They held a mini-summit at the weekend just before the main summit. But the Hungarians, have been really the most apocalyptic. I mean, they've been talking about social unrest in the East if they don't get more help, mass unemployment, mass migration, and the prospect of this new Iron Curtain rattling down across the continent, this time designed to keep the Easterners out of the West.
Okay, Stephen, so this is a European battle. What are the wider implications of this?
This summit, this EU summit in Brussels this weekend, was designed to pull the Europeans together, to get them all on board, to get them unified in preparation for the really big summit in London next month, the summit of the Group of 20 countries. Clearly, if the Europeans are bickering, the prospect of a unified result from that G20 summit in London looked pretty remote.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard, thank you.
Okay, Bill.
Back in the States now, things are going to get worse before they get better. That is the view of leading economic experts starting a three-day conference this morning outside Washington, D.C. As our senior business correspondent Bob Moon tells us, these economists admit they're still trying to figure out exactly where the economy is headed.
Gather a group of top economists in a room, and what do you get? No dismal punchlines, please. These days you'll find a bunch of weary and fractured forecasters.
I'm just never seeing things fall apart, not just in the U.S., but around the world so quickly.
David Weiss is chief economist at Standard & Poor's. He says the fairly mild to moderate recession many economists were predicting as recently as a few months ago has taken a sudden, sharp turn for the worse. In fact, things are moving so fast it almost has to suffice to say it's bad.
I think any business right now knows that the economy is very uncertain, and the point estimates from the economists are not worth a heck of a lot. What is important is to understand what the degree of risk is, and that's obviously increased sharply.
Weiss is somewhat less optimistic than his counterparts attending the conference of the National Association for Business Economics. While the group's latest survey points to 3% growth next year, he sees just 2%.
Some of us are really gloomy and some of us are mildly gloomy. The good news is we may see relatively good alcohol sales at the meetings.
Still, the group's survey found at least some hope a recovery could start by late this year. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
Another week, another world stock sell-off. Major Asian markets sank 4% today. European shares are down 3 to 4%. Wall Street futures are pointed lower. The Dow closed at 7,062 on Friday, and that is a 12-year low.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping its members navigate troubled economic times. Thrivent.com/new offers. American Public Media presents Repossessing Virtue, fresh thinking on the moral, spiritual, and ethical aspects of the economic downturn. Gain perspective at speakingoffaith.org.
America's technology boom is partly foreign-born. 52% of the top execs at Silicon Valley startups are immigrants. A new study finds that some of the most brilliant high-tech minds are heading back home. Janet Babin reports from the Marketplace Innovations Desk at North Carolina Public Radio.
To many immigrants, the U.S. is the shiny gold ring, the reward after years of hard work. A high-tech job here is the pinnacle of success. But a new study finds that ring has begun to tarnish. Duke professor and Harvard researcher Vivek Wadda was one of the paper's authors. He sampled more than 1,000 immigrant PhDs working in the U.S. Less than 15% reported that they wanted to stay here. Wadda says the innovation that fuels the American economy will now move offshore.
The next Silicon Valley won't be in RTP or it won't be in California. It's going to be in Shanghai or it's going to be in Bangalore.
That's because home cities like Bangalore now provide better opportunities than immigrants can get in the U.S. To contain the exodus, Wadda says the U.S. should ease visa restrictions to make it easier for immigrants to stay here. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Visit our online host and blogger, Scott Jagow. He's tracking the fallout at marketplace.org. Have a great Monday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.